I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Today's Eagles Super Bowl victory parade drew far more fans than when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008. Early estimates indicate that Eagles drew even more attendees to Philadelphia than Pope Francis did in 2015. As throngs of fans lined up for a glimpse of their heroes today, WHYY's Bobby Allen followed the parade and offers this report.
Standing outside of the link in a sea of green jerseys, the team's chant came up again and again.
E-A-G-L-E-S,
Rich Gregory of Deptford, New Jersey, says he thinks he knows why the Eagles won.
The team had an intangible, and that intangible is heart.
While government offices, schools, courts, and businesses citywide shut down for the day, bars like Cookie's Tavern in South Philly had their doors wide open, early. Joe Clark was having a beer. I asked him how the city's feeling after the Eagles' first Super Bowl win. He couldn't believe I was asking that.
Say what? Look around. What are you, blind? Come on.
Clark was right. No matter where you looked, the euphoria smacked you right in the face. Groups of fans singing the team's fight song, Fly Eagles Fly, on street corners. The sound of air horns blowing out of bars. With this backdrop, Clark was feeling pretty good.
Underestimate the wrong team, that's what you get. You get a championship in Philadelphia.
Eagles fan Dan Barca of Glassboro, New Jersey, was dancing to some music with a beer in his hand. Then he walked over to me. He wants to tell me something about Eagles fans, in case I didn't know.
We're the most passionate fans on earth. On earth. And underdogs for eternity. And we will always fight. Fight for everything.
Brian Lotman, another Eagles reveler, said later that kind of enthusiasm sometimes gets fans in trouble.
I mean, I think the passion is getting the worst of some people, but we just have to kind of tame it down, show the nation that we're passionate, but we're not overly crazy.
Some national headlines portrayed Eagles fans as out-of-control rioters. A few did flip over some cars, jump on poles, and smash window fronts. But fans and city officials insist that was a small subcategory of what Mayor Jim Kenney calls knuckleheads. Lotman says, knuckleheads or not, the big win brought the region together.
Just the unity has been outstanding. Outstanding, and I hope we don't see it end.
The thousands of paraders ended their five-mile trek at the entrance of Philly's Art Museum. But before they got there, Robert Kendrick was having a good time partying in South Philly. He says the Eagles' underdog status might not change, but that doesn't mean this is the Birds' last Super Bowl win.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And we got that fight, baby.
Bobby Allen, WHYY News.
Thousands of lifelong Eagles fans made their way to the Philadelphia Museum of Art this morning, hours before the parade even started. They included Hall of Fame sports writer Ray Didinger, who took a few minutes to share some thoughts on the game with NewsWorks Tonight producer Shai Ben-Yaakov.
A long time coming, the Eagles win. What's your kind of general reaction as a lifelong fan?
I think my reaction is pretty much the same as everybody else's reaction is. It's a great day for the city, and this is really as much about the fans as it is the coaches and the players, because these people have been waiting for it a long, long time. And, you know, Jeff Lurie's first comment when he accepted the trophy was, this is for the fans, and I think that's something that everybody's been feeling.
Nobody thought that this was the team that would be able to do it. Did you have that kind of confidence?
Not early. I mean, before the year started, I thought they'd be 8-8, maybe 9-7 with some luck. But as the year went on, I'll tell you, in week three, when Elliott kicked the 61-yard field goal to win that game at the gun, I told Seth Joyner, I said, you know what? This might be the year. Because something like that, it only makes sense within the context of a bigger picture. And at that point, I had a feeling that this team might have something special going, and they sure did.
Even with Nick Foles.
I mean, even when Wentz went down, you know, Foles was not any raw rookie. I mean, he had played. He had had some success. He had been in the postseason. So, I mean, I didn't expect him to be Wentz, but I certainly thought he'd be good enough to win some games in the postseason. And then he went ahead, and you'd be honest to say that it would be very hard. As much as we love Carson Wentz, I don't know that he could have played any better than Nick Foles did in the playoffs.
Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome.
Okay. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf held a place of honor at the parade, speaking just before the players. Prior to taking the stage, we had one question for him.
So here's your chance. You grew up in New York.
Yeah.
Was it divided loyalties between the Eagles or the Steelers or the Eagles or the Giants or the Jets?
you know, and I'm not just saying this. I'm a Pennsylvania. And when a Pennsylvania team does well like this, I mean, everybody in this state is proud.
You bet.
I'm very proud now. I'm proud to be a Pennsylvanian.
And look at the city of brotherly love showing their best.
Oh, no, it's great. It's really
fabulous.
It's wonderful.
And even though they weren't part of the parade, many former Eagles players wouldn't miss this day, including the team's former Pro Bowl middle linebacker, Jeremiah Trotter. He says he knew the team was special after its very first game of the season against the Washington Redskins.
I knew when we played Washington. I just knew. I didn't know how far we would get. I just knew those guys were having fun, man. And when you can have fun and you can buy into a system and you like your head coach, they really love Doug and they'll go to war for him. They bought into the system and they bought into each other.
Former Eagles offensive lineman Todd Herrimans could only grin as he looked out on the adoring crowd along the sun-soaked Ben Franklin Parkway.
It's awesome. There's nothing else you can say about it. It's awesome. The city deserves this. So happy for everybody involved. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. That's how you might describe the super fans who arrived on the parkway as early as 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon to try to get a front row seat to history. I spoke with many of them, along with producer Shai Ben-Yakov.
I'm here for my sister, because she can't be here right now, because she passed away about 2 years ago.
Was she an Eagles fan?
She was the biggest Eagles fan you would have ever met, and everything. She'd be down here right down partying. She would have been down Broad Street as soon as they won.
So you're here, and she's here, too.
I got her on my back. I got a tattoo for her.
I see her. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction when the Eagles won?
Man, I don't know. Honestly, to keep it a bean, I almost cried because, man, I've been waiting for forever, man. It's been forever.
Tell them the truth. I cried like a three-year-old. This is Cameron McNeely. I cried like a three-year-old.
Yeah, John Nash was out there crying, man. But after that, we were celebrating.
Yeah.
What time did you get here, sir?
We got here at midnight. They got here at 11. We got front row.
11 o'clock last night.
Yes.
What was the temperature like at 11 o'clock last night?
Cold. We'll just say that. Very cold. You got to layer up about 10 layers on and staying warm. And
feel them off as the day goes. Be fine.
Doze a little bit.
Yeah, I fell asleep around 4 in the morning.
Just like laying down.
Yeah, I just kind of cocooned in there and then fell asleep for about an hour and a half. Lost my toes.
And what's it now? Pure adrenaline?
Yeah. That's it. I can't feel them. I just feel the energy about everybody here, man. It's great.
What time did you guys get here to be here?
We got here at 9 o'clock and 9 o'clock last night. Yeah. Slept out here.
9 o'clock last night.
It was freezing. It was cold.
And when you guys got here at 9, how what would you do? Take shifts leaving and then go to Wawa and come back? Or?
Initially, we went to Wawa and got pizza and then Domino's.
Uh huh.
And then we were just stuck here. We were just here. It started piling over time. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, more people started to come. Initially, I'm like, I'm insane coming out here so early. But that's what it means to be a true Eagles fan. You got to be insane. Like, this is our first ring. It's historical. Come on,
yes,
now.
That's right.
I mean, maybe when we win our second and third one, I won't be out here. But first one, you got to be out here. You got to see what's on us. Oh, gosh. Frozen toes.
Frozen is that toes. Is that what's the coldest?
Oh, my gosh. My toes. I'll take the frostbite for the ring.
So you can't see right now. I don't know what time you got here.
3 a.m.
3 a.m.?
Yes, sir.
Are you a lifelong Eagles?
Since the day I came out of the womb. I didn't have a choice. My grandfather put the Eagle doll in my baby picture.
So your grandfather, if he was an Eagles fan too, he experienced, it wasn't a Super Bowl yet, but what is a championship in 1960.
Yes, he was alive.
He was alive then.
Yes. He's no longer with us. He didn't get to witness the Super Bowl, but he was there in spirit with us.
Is that... I don't want to get too spiritual, but is that how you feel in part why you're here? You're bringing
absolutely
him with you.
It's in the blood. We bleed green.
And after all the revelry and hopefully time to thaw out those frozen toes, the reality of getting everyone home. Joining me now is Jim Saxa of WHYY's Plan Philly Project, on hand at 30th Street Station. Jim, how are things moving or not?
Well, you know, things were jammed up a little bit earlier there, Dave, but things are moving a lot better right now. At one point, lines were going back from 30th all the way past 31st Street, but now the lines there barely are any lines, the Regional Rail lines. It's just a short wait for most of them. So if you were waiting out to get back on Regional Rail, now's the time to go.
That's WHYY's Jim Saxa reporting from 30th Street Station. WHYY's Laura Benchoff has been monitoring PATCO's progress and reports that the long lines to board trains in Center City have subsided. The system expects to resume normal service at 7 this evening for westbound trains. Back in 2008, when the Phillies had their championship parade, it was not a good day for SEPTA, with overpacked trains and overwhelmed subway lines. And in non-Eagles-related news, Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection today fined pipeline builder Sunoco Logistics $12.6 million for pollution caused by construction of its Mariner East 2 pipeline project. The settlement reached between DEP and Sunoco comes after the state ordered Sunoco to halt all construction related to permits issued for the natural gas liquids pipeline. Here to get us up to speed on this is State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips. And Susan, as this is one of the largest fines DEP has ever issued, tell us about this pipeline.
Well, the Mariner East 2 is a $2.5 billion project, and it's being built to carry natural gas liquids, and that includes ethane, butane, propane, across the state from the Marcellus and Utica shales to a processing and export terminal in Delaware County, where it will then be shipped to Scotland to make plastics.
And what have been the issues with it?
Well, we first reported on issues around construction last summer, Dave. And as some listeners may remember, a community in Chester County lost their well water after horizontal directional drilling disturbed the aquifer, causing muddy water. And in some cases, residents' well water just went dry. After that, we discovered even more issues in other parts of the state. The pipeline runs through 17 counties and crosses about 1,200 waterways and wetlands. And in many cases, the construction efforts use drilling to tunnel beneath those waterways. Construction has also caused sinkholes along the route and drilling mud spills into exceptional value wetlands and trout streams. And in total, the DEP has issued 33 separate violations up to this point.
Drilling mud spills. What's drilling mud?
It's non-toxic bentonite clay, and it's not poisonous to drink, but it definitely doesn't taste good, and it causes water to look cloudy and brown. If there is a significant amount that leaks into a waterway, it can smother aquatic life, the kind that trout feed on, for example, which is why trout fishermen are worried about the trout streams.
What did DEP do after this was discovered last summer?
So there was a lawsuit filed by the Clean Air Council and a number of other groups, and a consent decree was reached. But in the fall, the Department of Environmental Protection discovered that Sunoco continued to pollute waterways. And also they say that the company drilled in places where they were not permitted to do so.
And then came the work stoppage in January. No more drilling or crossing waterways. Today's announcement seems like a steep fine, Susan. $12.6 million, the largest DEP has issued to date, right?
Yes, but it's interesting to note that for a $2.5 billion project, that amounts to about 0.5% of the total budget. So a lot of pipeline opponents say this is just a drop in the bucket.
It's a controversial line using eminent domain to cut through the Philly suburbs, and it's garnered a lot of opposition. What are those naysayers telling you?
Well, the pipeline opponents are not happy with this settlement at all. For one thing, they don't like that as part of the agreement, Sunoco can now resume construction. But also they say this fine is simply throwing money at a problem without solving the problem. They don't think Sunoco is committed to building this pipeline safely, and they don't see anything in this settlement that would change their mind about that. And there's nothing in the agreement that convinces them that the company's practices are actually going to change. So what they would have rather had was actually a judicial process where the public could weigh in on it and a judge would have had a role in this settlement.
To which Sunoco responds?
Sunoco says they disagree with DEP's characterization that their actions that caused these spills and pollution incidents were, quote, willful and egregious. Sunoco says that they've revised their operations plan and they say that they're taking additional measures to follow the permit conditions and reduce the number of drilling mud spills and water contamination.
Thanks, Susan.
You're welcome.
State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips on Newsworks Tonight. The celebration in Philadelphia reached its apex this afternoon as the Eagles descended the steps of the Art Museum to raucous applause below and fighter jets above. The players and an array of speakers took a moment to address the roaring crowds. Before the team took to the podium, Mayor Kenney expressed the city's relief to have finally won a Super Bowl.
We want to thank all the players and their families for the hard work, the coaches and their families for their hard work, the ownership, Jeffrey Lurie, Don Smolenski. You've made our lives perfect now because the chip is off our shoulder. We are now world champions. God bless you all. And I want to thank this crowd and this group of folks out here, millions of you, for showing the love that you have for each other for this team. God bless you all. Go Birds!
Head coach Doug Peterson reflected on the team's perseverance throughout the season and hit on a theme that underpinned many of the speeches. The underdogs have prevailed.
I'm so proud of this group of men. The dedication, the commitment, the desire, and the will to never quit. This is a resilient group. This is a group that fought through a lot of injury, adversity. The underdog, right? The underdog.
The underdogs performed beyond expectations. And Howie Roseman, Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the Eagles, took a moment to rub it in the noses of naysayers.
Philly, is this what heaven's like? This is the best city in the world, with the best fans in the world, and now we have the world championship. Get used to it. Let's go!
Roseman's sentiment was short and sweet. But that wasn't enough for center Jason Kelce. Only feet from Philly's iconic Rocky statue and dressed in full Mummer's regalia, Kelce barked into the microphone a laundry list of slights brought against the Eagles organization.
When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. You saw a driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down, went for it on fourth and down in the Super Bowl with the trick play. And it don't stop with him. It does not stop with him. Jason Peters was told he was too old, didn't have it anymore. Before he got hurt, he was the best freaking tackle in the NFL. Big V was told he didn't have it. Stephen Wisniewski ain't good enough. Jason Kelce's too small. Lane Johnson can't lay off the juice. Brandon Brooks has anxiety. Carson Wentz didn't go to a Division I school. Nick Foles don't got it. Corey Clement's too slow.
But Kelce's got game, and as he put it in words that are sure to be repeated in years to come, an underdog is a hungry dog. Hungry dogs run faster. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Find us on your favorite podcast app or listen back at whyy.org/news. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller. NewsWorks Tonight.